Scripture reading today is taken from Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord was standing by. And the angel of the Lord solemnly assured Joshua, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then you shall rule my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you the right of access among those who are standing here. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, you and your friends will sit before you, you and your friends who sit before you, for they are men who are a sign. Behold, I will bring my servant the branch. For behold, on the stone that I have set before Joshua, on a single stone with seven eyes, I will engrave its inscription, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of this land in a single day. In that day, declares the Lord of hosts, every one of you will invite his neighbor to come under his vine and under his fig tree." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A very good morning to one and all. God's grace be with you this morning. Before we begin, let us join our hearts in prayer. Dear gracious God, we praise you for your goodness, righteousness, and grace. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ into our life. Thank you for your grace in our everyday life. We pray for attentive hearts and ears as we listen to you today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Tristan Tan Yi Ray, a 33-year-old man, was sentenced to death in February 2023. He was found guilty of trafficking 337.6 grams of methamphetamine. Under the law of our country, trafficking 250 grams of such illicit drug carries the mandatory death sentence. Tristan's conviction and sentence were upheld by the Court of Appeal. President Tharman Shanmugaratnam, on the advice of the Cabinet, granted a pardon to Tristan. His death sentence was commuted to life imprisonment. This clemency is rarely granted. It says, "Clemency is an exceptional power that is exercised as an act of executive grace." This is grace. The Evangelical Dictionary of Theology defines grace as undeserved blessing freely bestowed on humans by God. This is a concept that is at the heart of our Christian theology, and it is also at the heart of every genuine Christian experience. Today we shall look at Zechariah chapter 3, the fourth vision, the vision of the high priest. Joshua, the high priest, was unworthy to enter the presence of God, but God, in his grace, grant him access. We shall discover how God's grace impacts our lives, how his grace clothes us in righteousness despite our shortcomings. And how does God's grace empower us to live for righteousness and be transformed by his mercy? We shall now step into the heavenly courtroom scene in Zechariah chapter 3. Here we have the angel of the Lord. He represents God the judge. He presides over the case. We also have Joshua, the high priest. He represents the Jews. He's accused and in need of redemption. And we have Satan, the accuser. He brings forth charges against Joshua. He seeks a guilty verdict. The term Satan in the text refers to a title or a function that means the accuser or adversary. As an accuser, his role is to examine the accused in a trial. But in this context, he seeks to discredit Joshua, the high priest. But the Lord strongly rebuked the accuser and intervened on Joshua's behalf. He declared his intention to restore Joshua because of his election of Jerusalem. A brand is a piece of burning wood. The Lord uses the image, a brand plucked from the fire. This is to remind Joshua of his deliverance from exile in Babylon. And this is the divine grace of God. This image also serves as a reminder of their past punishment. The Jews were exiled to Babylon because of their disobedience. Despite his guilt, God silences the accuser. God did so not because Joshua is not guilty, but because of his sovereign grace. This divine act of grace and mercy sets us free from the weight of guilt that is often associated with sin. Joshua's filthy garments represent the guilt and pollution of sin that led to the divine judgment. The word filthy is a strong term. It is closely related to two Hebrew nouns used for human excrement and vomit. And this emphasizes the depth of his uncleanness. As a high priest, Joshua's state of defilement rendered him unfit to enter the presence of God. And his condition also reflects the unworthiness of the community to enter the holy presence of God. Verse 4. And the angel said to those who are sitting before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments." The angel commanded the removal of the filthy garments. This symbolizes the removal of Joshua's sin and guilt. And in place of the filthy garments, pure vestments were given to him. Pure vestments are the fine priestly robes appropriate for the office of the high priest. This change of clothing restored Joshua to his office as a high priest and mediator for his people. In this courtroom scene, by God's grace, he silences the accuser and cleanses Joshua's sin, and God enables Joshua to enter the holy presence of God. God extends his grace to the remnant community through the high priest. And this is a foreshadow of the kind of grace and cleansing that God will bring one day. In verse 8, God speaks to Joshua and introduces my servant, the branch. This points to a messianic figure. God tells Joshua that he and the priests are a sign of the coming messianic age. He will usher in a new era in which sin will be removed. In the New Testament, Jesus is the ultimate high priest. He fulfills the hope of the branch. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus removes sin once and for all and provides redemption for all. Jesus clothed us with garment of salvation, and he covered us with robes of righteousness. God silences the accuser and cleanses Joshua's sin. Today, God extends his grace to Jesus Christ. He sends Jesus to fulfill the prophecy of the branch, and through his grace, he clothed us in righteousness. You know, God's gracious act of grace, his love, his mercy, and his forgiveness should motivate us and draw us closer to God with a thankful heart to praise him and to obey him. We often hear of John Newton's conversion at sea and the song he wrote, Amazing Grace. This hymn tells his life story. His life was completely changed by God's grace. Newton's life took a dark turn when he joined the slave trade. He worked on the slave ship and he became a captain. During this time, he was known for his very bad habit, and his behavior was really very bad. He drank heavily and he used foul language. A life-changing storm brought Newton to desperation. He cried out to God for his grace and mercy. Newton knew that he was unworthy. He lived only for himself, and he exploited people. He knew he was bad, and he deserved the worst punishment. But God's grace saved his life. He did not perish at the sea. This moment at the sea marked the beginning of Newton's transformation. He repented, and God's grace changed his life. Newton later renounced the slave trade, and he became a prominent supporter in ending the practice of slavery. From a slave trader, he became a minister. Newton wrote Amazing Grace to share his story of redemption and forgiveness. The hymn lyrics reflect his experience of God's grace, from guilt to shame, from guilt and shame to peace in God. Harry Anderson was a Canadian-American Bible teacher. He's also a theologian and author. He pastored Moody Church in the 30s. He wrote, "Grace is the very opposite of merit. Grace is not only undeserved favor, but it is favor shown to the one who has deserved the very opposite." Grace is favor shown to us despite our unworthiness. All of us deserve judgment. You and I deserve God's wrath and punishment. But instead, God showed his kindness, love, and forgiveness. What does it look like for you? Well, the accuser often undermines our confidence and trust in God's grace through faith. He whispers that small sins has no big consequence. It is okay to watch a few sensual videos on the social media. It is harmless to try the V-pod, the K-pod of vaping to get a feel of it. It is all right to say a few curse word or swear word. But soon, vices will consume our time, harm our health, and damage relationship, especially with God. The accuser then turns around and feels guilt and shame on us that we are unworthy to come before God. What should we do then? We must surrender ourselves to God and repent and believe the truth of God's grace that he silences the accuser, cleanses our sin, and clothes us in righteousness. And we can be free in God's forgiveness. As believers of Jesus, we can have the confidence and trust that we are clothed in the righteousness of God by his grace. After the Lord clothed Joshua with pure vestment, he called Joshua to fulfill his commission to faithful living and fulfill the duties of the high priest. God makes Joshua clean and acceptable, but Joshua has a responsibility to be faithful to God's way and live rightly before God. To live for righteousness means to pursue a right relationship with God and walk in his way. It means we must live a life that aligns with God's standard of moral righteousness and justice. And our life must reflect Christ's character. It must be reflected in our thoughts, words, and deeds. God's grace doesn't prevent us from all responsibility. We must have an attitude of gratitude for what God has done for us. His grace should motivate us to love him, to follow him, and serve him. When we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ, God's grace motivates us to live for righteousness for Christ. Our country recently celebrated 60 years of nation building. During the national parade, various uniform groups marched by. Those who wear uniform, whether it is in the army or in the navy or other groups, they represent their organization and they obey the rules of the organization. You know, sometimes I wear my favorite T-shirt of some church organization. And I'm conscious and mindful that I'm a follower of Jesus. I pray that God will help me reflect his love and character. I strive to be obedient in simple things like following traffic rules. What about you? In verse 7, the Lord recommissioned Joshua, If you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then you shall rule my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you the right of access among those who are standing there. This verse begins with a series of conditional clauses. They are the expectations of the high priest. God calls Joshua to walk faithfully. God calls Joshua to faithful living according to his word and in fulfilling the duties of the high priest. The Lord also commands the high priest specifically to exercise judicial function as well as to govern the richer. Joshua is given a charge to walk in God's way, and judge God's house faithfully. And this promises him access to the holy presence of God. Well, as follower of Jesus, we are priestly representative on this earth. As we hear the call to Joshua, we can hear the call for us to desire God. We are called to be faithful to the commands of Jesus and be transformed. This is the fundamental calling of holiness and obedience. We are also called as God's priestly representative wherever God places us, whether in the home, in the church, in the office, or in the society. We are called to live rightly for Jesus and speak or act as representative of Jesus. Well, this should flow out of the fundamental faithfulness to God's holiness. And this is made possible by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. We are to walk in God's way made possible by God's grace. Many of us, including myself, struggle to obey God's commands and walk in his way. We seek to break free from some bad habits. We need God's grace to empower us and guide us. When I accepted Christ into my life, my heart overflows with gratitude of God's grace. I dedicated a chair in my room to Jesus. This symbolized God's presence in my life. I would dialogue with him before I go to bed. I find comfort that God watched over me. Upon waking, I would acknowledge his presence. My mind would be filled with Jesus. I would focus on him. My mind was then clothed in Jesus, and I live for Jesus. However, as life got busy, things changed. One day, I realized that my handphone has taken over the chair. The handphone became my last thought before I go to bed, and the first thought in the morning. The hours I spent on handphone disturbed my sleep. I realized that I was prioritizing my handphone over my relationship with God. My mind was clothed with my handphone, and I live for my handphone. By God's grace, I repented, and I make a conscious effort to return Jesus to the center of my life. Verse 10 concludes Chapter 3 with a vision of a community. To the remnant community of in Zechariah chapter 3. This is an image of hope, a picture of security and prosperity where everyone live in peace together. For us, this is a vision of a community purified by God through Christ, living in peace and harmony, sharing their blessings with one another. This reminds us that the gospel is communal in nature, and this compels us to offer the grace and blessing we receive to others. We are to share our blessings whether it is material, spiritual, emotional, or relational, with those in need. And doing so, we reflect God's love and care for others. What does living for righteousness by God's grace look like in daily life? How can you set aside time for God to read His Word, to converse with Him, and live out His will in your life? As Jesus' follower, how can you speak with kind words to your loved one in your family? How may you be an encourager to a brother or a sister in Christ in the church? And where can you show compassion and love in the society, especially those who have yet known Jesus? God's grace empowers us to live for righteousness. We receive God's grace from God, and we pour out this grace to others. In conclusion, I would like to share the story of Sampun Sriwachai, how God's grace broke him and transformed him to a person proclaiming grace. Sampun Sriwachai was born in 1959. He was dedicated to the temple as a child monk. By 19, he had enough of hunger and he left the monkhood. He joined a gang with a new set of restriction and order. He was on constant move to evade the police. He hid in the jungles, living among the communists. Finally, he was arrested. Drugs and alcohol became his companions in controlling his anger. At 29, he met some Christian and one shared, "If you believe, you will see the grace of God." Sriwachai repeated the words of the cell group leader, and something inside him broke. He began to weep and sensed that his sins has been forgiven. 3 months later, he went to a church in Chiang Mai. At the altar call, he prayed and wept. Since then, his life was changed by God's grace. Sriwachai made a 180-degree turn and lived for God. He attended Bible training course. His church sent him to plant a new church in the north of Chiang Mai. Later, he was called to live among the Lahu tribal group. Although he did not speak the language, he could live among them because he witnessed by his example. Sriwachai did further Bible study. He then started a church in the Thai town of Mysore near the Thailand-Myanmar border, and he preaches God's grace to the people there. He and his team also served the community by running a school for 300 children. And they also have 3 homes for children at risk of abuse and human trafficking. Sriwachai said, "Now, as I look back, my old life is gone. I once lived in darkness with no future. I once lived among people rejected by society, but Jesus Christ changed my life and called me to serve Him." God's grace changed his life. God's grace clothes us in righteousness despite our sin, so that we can enter His holy presence. And God's grace calls us to live in obedience and to live for righteousness. How can you respond to God's grace with trust and faith? How can you respond to God's grace with trust and faith? Amen.